Giles McCrary used to tease me from time to time, asking me how come the thoughts that I present never seem to come from the front half of the book. So in that spirit, reading from the prophecy of Micah, except perhaps for the Psalms, one of the most oft-quoted and routinely memorized verses in the New Testament. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? There are times when I wonder how the Spirit moves, or even in darker moments, if the Spirit lives, which is bad news if you're a minister, because this particular part of this job is by design to speak the Word of God and to be driven by the Spirit. And if you're not sure how the Spirit moves or if the Spirit lives, well, that can be a little more difficult than you think. Well, I am amazed at how often when I look at what's happening in our world or what happens in my life, things just occur to me that I can only ascribe to the work of the Spirit and its never-failing life. This week, it wasn't so much what was happening in our world or in my life, but what was running through my head sort of relentlessly. At the Christian church, there's a hymn that comes right before the sermon. And last week, that hymn was the old gospel song, Trust and Obey. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't. But I had it running through my head relentlessly all week. Kind of when you go to Disney World and it's a small world, and that's like 6 months worth of what you can't stop singing. Well, I've also learned, and there's even research to back this up, that those little thoughts or phrases or even songs that inexplicably wind up rolling through our minds are sort of windows on our emotions, windows on what we're feeling. And so, because by Friday nothing else was happening spirit-wise in terms of an insight on where to go today, and trust and obey was still rolling pretty strong, I thought, well, this shall be a sign unto you. So the title of this sermon is, guess what? Trust and obey. Interestingly enough, relating back to last week, the title of that presentation was called Ordinary Time. And when I started pondering the notion of trust and obey, it occurred to me that there really is no such thing as ordinary time, at least from the standpoint of the little picture. Because no day is ordinary in that it is completely unique. We don't cycle through. September 16th, 2012 will never roll around again. And in the course of each day, unique things happen that may never be repeated. Often not of great note. Sometimes of enormous consequence. The biopsy results are in. Grandma fell. There's been an accident. Or the home pregnancy test showed up positive. Guess what? He asked me to marry him. Great. And so on. Ordinary days are extraordinary in their own way every day, and occasionally extraordinary in ways that give us great concern, sometimes a lot of worry, or even the positive stress associated with good news. What's our job? Trust and obey. The biblical sentiment for that is, I think, most aptly caught by the prophet Micah. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, obey, and walk humbly with your God? Trust. Well, let's talk about the two portions of that that really, I think, is a useful way to think about the purpose of our life, the nature of our ministry, and how we conduct ourselves more or less day by day. Trust and obey. Trust is, in one sense, obvious, But there's more depth to it than what we typically think. You know, the sort of stereotypic two-dimensional kind of trust in God and everything will be all right becomes very quickly a platitude when it doesn't take very long for us to experience life to know that occasionally things don't turn out all right. And if our trust is based on outcome, we're going to be disappointed, and our faith may even be shaken, and we may even become less trusting or trustworthy. But what transcends the outcome is the process of coping. What I think our faith gives us most of all is not the assurance that everything is going to be fine, because it won't, and we know this, but that even when it isn't fine, we will learn how to cope and we will find our way through it. Not unscathed, not without pain, and certainly going through a process we wish we didn't have to do. But I would certainly venture that everyone in this room at least knows someone, and I certainly know a lot of you, in fact, I know the details of a lot of you, who have said something like, you know, I never thought I could get through that, and if you'd told me in advance I would have to do this, I'd say I can't, but guess what? I did. I figured it out. I found some strength I didn't know I had. I learned some things from other people that helped. And I've learned to cope because of trust. What does the Lord require of you? Trust. Trust that transcending circumstance will be the strength you need to get through. And secondly, obey. One of the most consistent themes in my preaching is that circumstance does not dictate how much God might or might not love us. God loves us regardless of the circumstances of our lives. God loves us regardless of the things that we do that are unloving and unlovable. Well, if that's true, if the circumstances of our lives don't prevent us from receiving God's love, so also, the other side of that is the circumstances of our lives do not exempt us from the responsibility to serve. And there's an odd twist in that, you know. It seems to be that when we reach out to others when we are most weak ourselves, the reaching out gives us strength and maybe even starts a movement of continued strength. There are very public figures that have reached out and, in a sense, become role models for others. Betty Ford for cancer, Lance Armstrong, and so on. And for me, the entire Wounded Warrior softball team that takes the field with $2 million worth of prosthetics. When I get to dwelling on my sad, sorry life, that pulls me out of it. When people are most laid low and find a way to look out, they draw strength to get them through. Well, what are they doing? They're obeying the call to serve in spite of circumstances that have them down. Trust that you will find a way to cope, obey the call to serve, and you become role models for others. Others will find strength in watching you develop strength under circumstances where the odds may be long against it. Trust and obey. The two main characters in John Irving's novel, published many years ago now, called The Cider House Rules, is the medical director of an orphanage and an orphan. An orphan who is repeatedly sent out for adoption, and it repeatedly never works out, until he goes through late adolescence and young adulthood, and he will, it becomes clear, never be adopted. He will be an orphan his whole life, and the orphanage will be his home. At which point, the medical director takes him aside, puts his arm around him, and says, "Well, if that's the way it's going to be, I expect you to be of use. I expect you to be of use. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God, Put another way, trust in your ability to figure out how to cope. Obey the call to serve and take others along with you. And the next time you find yourself wondering where the Spirit moves or how the Spirit lives, if you can't remember the Micah verse or you don't hear the song, hear this. All God expects is that we be of use. Amen.